I was in the Shinjuku train station last fall. My wife and I and her sister. If you've ever been there, besides Tokyo Station, it's the second largest, and it's a madhouse. Especially if you don't know English and you don't know the system. And even if you speak Japanese, you still sometimes don't know the system very well. Dozens and dozens and dozens of subways zipping in and out of that train station. Trains on a different level of platform coming in and out. And my wife and I and my sister-in-law stood there a little bit dazed and confused of where to go and needing to catch our train to go to a next location. We'd even gone the day before to scout it out to make sure we knew where to go. But in rush hour, we lost it. Until a young businessman in his dark blue suit and white shirt, pressed clean, his briefcase in hand, paused and stopped and said, "You look a little bit lost. Can I help you?" In the midst of all that hustle and bustle, a young man stopped, and within literally seconds, no more than 60 seconds, were we in the right place at the right time to make it to our train and to make it to our next destination, thankfully to this young man. That's kindness. A young man refused to be known. He didn't want any credit, but he wanted to do something kind. So he would come and he would secretly collect a big black hefty garbage bag from the janitor's closet here at the church. And during the week, he would make the rounds around the church property and he'd collect the trash that had been dropped by passersby or even nonchalant lifers. And he would clean up the church grounds only for God to see. It's kindness. It was a college-age young lady who knew of an elderly woman who needed help getting in and into her bed at nighttime. Struggled with movement, struggled with changing her clothing, struggled with getting herself prepared for bedtime. And this young college student volunteered to go every night and to help her get ready to tuck her into bed. And the woman had a little bit of pride. She demanded that she pay her $1 a visit. That's kindness. The woman caught in adultery that Jesus said, "Who condemns you?" "No one, sir." "Neither do I condemn you. Go, but sin no more." That's kindness. The good Samaritan who stopped when all the other religious people passed him by. The good Samaritan stopped and helped the man who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead, paying his medical bills and paying for the innkeeper to take care of him. That's kindness. Or Jesus coming upon the lame man by the pool of Bethesda, said, Why are you still here?" "Because I can't get into the pool, sir. Somebody always beats me there." And Jesus raised him and gave him legs to walk on. That's kindness. The scripture says, love is patient, love is kind. Lifers, if we're going to be a true community, if we're going to be a people that the world around us says, those people are different. Those people have something that I don't find anywhere else. I don't find it at work. I don't find it in the neighborhood. Maybe they see glimpses of it here and there. But to see a community function in a loving way, we need to be patient and we need to be kind. We learned about patience last week. We're going to talk about kindness today. Here's the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 verses and then on to verses 13, 4 through 8. "And now I will show you the most excellent way." The most excellent way. Verse 4. "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love protects. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking." We'll stop right there. Those words all go together. And each week through this series on maintaining true community, we're taking those words in a package because they relate to one another. Sometimes it's what love is, sometimes it's what love is not. And sometimes you can define something not by saying what it is, but by what it isn't. And Paul does that often in this passage. Last week we talked about patience. That's the inside work. Today we talk about kindness, which is the outside work. Patience is being I won't say abused, but it's being inconvenienced at best, maybe abused at worst. over and over and over, but yet without retaliation. It literally means it takes you a long time to boil. You don't have a temper. Kindness, however, is actively doing something for the person. Sometimes you can be patient, but not kind, and therefore not loving. Patience is maybe not doing something retaliatory. Kindness is actively doing something for the offender. We can even do things that appear to be kind, but if the heart isn't right, it's truly not kindness. We can be patient with someone, and inside just kind of, our heart is white-knuckled. And we're like going, oh, I really want to just lay this person out, but I'm going to be patient. Patience and kindness go together. It's one thing not to do bad things to people. It's quite another to actively do things good for people. Love is kind. Because of its kind, it protects others. It protects friends and even protects enemies. We are called to do good, not just avoid doing bad. You've heard the words, try a little kindness in songs or cliche. That's a good thing to think about. You've heard of random acts of kindness. That sometimes freaks people out because they want to ask, what's the catch? And with Jesus, there is no catch. Because you see, Jesus doesn't do random acts of kindness. Jesus is kindness because Jesus is love and love is kindness. It's not that you have, that Jesus had to work up any kind of kindness. Look at all those Pharisees. I'm really wrong. Father, just let me lightning bolt them one time. Just once. No, because he was kind. Kindness means warm-hearted, considerate, gentle, sympathetic. It's the attitude that looks to others first before yourself. Protects, to literally cover, or interestingly, to keep a secret. It's kind. You don't spread rumor. On the contrary, love is not rude or self-seeking. Rude, that's dishonoring. A behavior that breaks the acceptable norms in a people group or a culture. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't seek me first. If you're kind, you're not rude or self-seeking. If you're kind, you protect people. You take care of them. You watch out for them. Can we be patient with rude people? How many are really good at being patient with rude people? Okay, me neither. I didn't put my hand up. Kindness is the response after we've been patient. Some of us can be patient and walk away. Jesus said, that's not enough. Be patient and turn to the person and be kind. Do something for them. Now, this gets a little tricky. This not being rude or not being self-seeking and getting easily offended. Because we live in a very, very multicultural area. And have you found out already that different cultures have different standards about what is rude? Maybe you've traveled a little bit, but that happens here in our community. As I mentioned before, my wife and I being in Japan, and if you are in a Japanese restaurant and you stick the chopsticks down inside the rice, you are rude. Lousy foreigner. What are you thinking? You don't walk with your food. You buy it on the street market and you stand aside and you finish it and then you can walk. You don't talk on the trains and you don't laugh without covering your mouth in a public place. If you're in the Middle East or African countries, you don't give the thumbs up sign or the A-OK sign. There, that's like giving somebody the middle finger. So rudeness is different. I've made that mistake. Preaching in Africa. Saying, does everybody get it? What did that pastor just do? In Asian countries, wearing your outside shoes on in the inside of the house. Very rude. Burping after a meal or slurping, however, is perfectly acceptable and even complimentary. And in many countries, tipping is rude. I don't know about you. I've got some pet peeves about what is rude and what is not rude. And I'm kind of chivalrous. I don't know where it came from. I don't think my parents actually taught it. I don't remember my father actually saying, you know, this is what men do. But I just find it nice, no matter what I'm struggling not saying, you know, women's lib type things, because I don't even know what that means these days. But I still like to hold open doors. I think it's kind. I learned the other day, though, that when you go into a restaurant or a public place, you open the door, walk in first. It's a sign of making sure it's okay, and then let the lady come in. I think it's nice to give up your seat in public transportation for someone who's older than you or for a lady. But I also think if you're on the right-hand turn lane, stay as close to the left as you can to let the other right-hand turn people pass. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Don't leave one spoonful of ice cream in the carton and put it back in the freezer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't leave a little drip of milk in the carton and then put it back. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And put the toilet seat down. Ladies. I still don't get that, because why can't you just put it down yourself? Anyway. That's another argument. I think it's rude to hesitate before picking up the check. So if you ever go out to lunch with me, we're gonna have a wrestling match. Or I'll sneak there ahead of you. Rudeness. It's the opposite of kindness. We think about those things that are rude. We say, well, let's be kind. Paul said, I will become all things to all men that I might win some. What he meant was, when he would go to those different cultures, and he might think, it's really dumb to slurp. But if I'm in a culture where slurping is polite, I'm slurping. I might think that it's kind of silly not to walk with your food, but if I'm in a culture where it's rude, then I'm going to stop and I'm going to eat and then I'll walk. I will become all things to all men. We learn each other. We learn what people find rude and what they don't. Patience. What you did or said might be offensive to me, but I'm going to take a long time to boil. I'm not going to give in to that. But kindness is, this is what I'll do for you next. Patience. I may not hit you, but I'm not going to give you a gift either. But kindness says, oh, yes, you are. Let's learn about some ways that we can be kind to everyone. 2 Timothy chapter 24 says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to whom? Everyone. Let's say it again really loud. He must be kind to whom?
Everyone.
Everyone. Who does that include? Yeah, everyone. There are no exceptions to everyone. There is no everyone but. That wasn't added to the scripture. But be kind to everyone except, that's not in there. But be kind at these times, and then like a parking, you know, sign. Well, you can park here from, you know, midnight to 6, but when 6 comes, it's against the law. That's not the way kindness works. There's not a time to be kind and a time to be rude. It's kindness. And be kind to everyone, scripture says. Jesus was kind to those who loved him. Jesus was kind to those who hated him. Jesus was kind to those who spread rumors about him. Jesus was kind to those who fed him. Jesus was kind to those who welcomed into their homes, and Jesus was kind to those who didn't want to see him. Why? Because Jesus was kind. It wasn't something that he decided to do. It's his nature. And Abundant Lifers and those online, that God is attempting to transform us so that we wouldn't even have to think about being kind before being kind. It's just who we are. It's our nature. Now, we're working on it. We're not perfect yet. But that's what makes the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, because the people of God are kind. Why? Because we're kind. Well, how? Because Jesus is in our lives. And he's changed us from darkness into light. And that's who we are. We're kind people. Scripture says Jesus is the kindness of God. And that same God lives inside of us. Kindness thinks, what's better for them? What would be best for that person right there? That server, that neighbor, that annoying person. Kindness. Sometimes Jesus was harsh with people. We read those things. But what was Jesus kind to those Pharisees when he called them whitewashed tombs and vipers? That didn't sound very kind to me. How many know that the greatest kindness that you can exert to someone is to hold the mirror up in front so that they see who they are and they'll change? Sometimes it takes discernment. But I'm so thankful for the doctor when he's giving me a checkup. He full well knows where the spot is, but instead, but even then, he puts his thumb on it and he presses a little bit. And I go, whoa, that hurt. Now we know where you need healing. And that's what Jesus does sometimes. And he did it in the scripture. And he touched points in people's lives. They recoiled and said, whoa, I don't like that. And Jesus said, I know. Because that's the place where you're dying. That's the place that's wounded. That's the place in your life that feels fear and shame and guilt. So I've got to touch it. And you may not like it. You don't even know right now that I'm being so kind to you to try to help you understand. Well, everyone, who does everyone include? Be kind to your enemies. Oh, why do we have to start with that? Why can't we work up to that? Now, we're going to just take it right off the bat. Be kind to your enemies. Here's what the scripture says. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. Because, what? He is kind and ungrateful, or kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We're kind to our enemies because Jesus is kind to his enemies. Because we're people of God. If we are sons and daughters of God, we represent him, we bear his name, then we act like he acts. And sometimes we can't do that, so we ask him to transform us so we can. We be kind to our enemies. I remember the day, I've told this story often, but I know our church transitions a lot, but I'll never forget. Leanne's office down here on the side, if you've ever been there, the church office is where my office used to be. And on one particular day, a woman came into the office and she told me some truths that I did not want to hear. But she was right. And as I listened to her, my spirit began to just break under the conviction and under the weight of the truth. And I began to weep. And I just felt that crushing, that, I won't say guilt, but the conviction. And the weeping became convulsion. And you know the ugly cry? This was disastrously ugly. And I put my head down between my knees as I sat in my chair. My nose began to run and the tears and the snot just began to form a puddle on the carpet. And the carpet was brand new. But it didn't really bother me so much because of the weight of what I had just been told. And it was a sweet moment. It really was. It was a healing moment. And it was a let's get it right moment. And after the tears dried, we went on about our business. And it wasn't but maybe 3 months later. I was in on a Saturday night and I was in the office and I was doing some final wrap up for the sermon for Sunday morning. It was maybe 10 o'clock and there was a man that came by. And he'd come by before. I knew his name. He knocked on the door, and because I knew him, I opened the door. And as I opened the door, he practically fell into my arms. He's clearly just high on something, intoxicated. He reeked. He hadn't showered, I don't know how many days. Just awful smell, and then the smell of his breath was just so nauseating. And he was on me in that moment, because he just fell in the door. He's on me, and I'm recoiling. Inside, but how do you shove a person off of you? And as he's crying and just suffering, he's got the ugly cry. And his tears and his snot is running, and he's on me, and it's forming a puddle on my clothing. And I look down, I see on my shirt, it's got his snot on my shirt and his tears. And I'm trying to recoil, and I'm trying to, in the moment, I'm just so like, God, this is gross. And in that moment, God spoke. He said, how come his tears and snot are gross, but yours aren't? And I remembered the morning 3 months before. Sometimes we think our messes are cleaner than somebody else's messes. Sometimes We think that our ugliness is not as ugly as somebody else's ugliness. In that moment, I had to work through it, but I held on to him. In that moment, I didn't care so much because I knew what a hypocrite I would be after God had spoken and said, God, you love us both. You're compassionate for my tears and you're compassionate for his tears. And God's compassion was able to work. For quite a long time after that, we set up a place for him down at the parsonage where we lived. And he lived not with us, since I had young children and wanted to be a little bit cautious, but we set up a place and he lived under a roof and in a warm place for a long time. I lost track of him. I don't know where he is. But I know Jesus knows where he is. Because kindness extends to those. He wasn't an enemy, but he wasn't a friend. Be kind to the needy, Jesus said. Proverbs 14:21 says, blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Proverbs 14:31, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor loans to the Lord, and he will reward him. Being kind to the needy requires time, and it requires money oftentimes. But I love that last scripture. It convicts me. He who is kind to the poor loans to the Lord, and he will reward him. Oh, I can't give to this person because it's just going to be a waste of money. That's not what God just said. God said it's not a waste of the money because God will take care of the repayment someday. Maybe not in cash, but in a reward that we couldn't even imagine. Yes, it's true. Sometimes it can get a little sticky. That night when that gentleman fell into my arms, reeking of drugs and alcohol, I wasn't going to give him money. I knew that that wouldn't really help him at that moment. And I wouldn't give him money the next day either when he had sobered up. I pretty much figured where it would go. Kindness isn't always giving the person what they want. Kindness is giving the person what's best for them. And we have to discern that. And sometimes it's tricky. But praise God, we have the mind of Christ. He can guide us as we seek him. But taking maybe a warm meal to someone, maybe you know that someone is sick and struggling, it's kind to help them when they're in that situation. I like to always leave public restrooms cleaner than when I came in. Yeah, sometimes it's gross. I make sure to take a large wad of the paper out of the dispenser. But I try to leave it nicer because I like nice restrooms. So leave it kind, to leave it nice. I do pick up the check often and I do tip well because I think that's kind. I put my shopping cart away and I don't leave it in the parking space because I hate it when somebody does that to me. Those are just little things, but it's kind. And the last one here says, be kind to the family of God, Galatians 6:10. Be kind to everyone, especially to the family of believers. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? We're in the family of believers this morning. So especially to each other. But how many know sometimes it's hard to be kind to those that are closest? Sometimes we forget. It's not that we don't want to be kind. It's just that, you know, time happens. And I hear it often, not often, but I'll say periodically I hear it. Pastor, I hear you talk about family and, you know, things like that. And you know, I just don't have many, you know, friends here at the church. And you know, nobody asks me out for lunch. And I'll just say this. Kindness would then say, well, why don't you ask somebody out? Because that's kind. See, one way is I'm waiting for somebody to be kind to me. I'm waiting for somebody to reach out to me. And I want kindness. And I'm trying to say this morning that if we are going to be a kind church, we don't sit back and wait for somebody to be kind. We actively are kind. Amen? We are the ones that take the first step. We are the ones that reach out first. We're the ones that make the first ask. Because that's kindness. We've got meal trains, and I've been the recipient of those. It's so kind when someone does that. It's really nice. There's two reasons why I think we're not as kind to each other as we want to be. And I think if we polled everybody in the room, there'd be nobody that would say, no, I don't want to be kind. Nobody would say that. We would all say, yeah, I'd like to be more kind. I wish I were, but I think there's two reasons, and maybe there are more, but I think time and intentionality are the culprits. Because usually, oh, I'd like to be kind, but oh, I'm so busy. Oh, there's so much going on. I just don't have any bandwidth left in my life to reach beyond that. I just don't have the time. My schedule is so packed. Anybody can relate to that? Oh, I missed an opportunity. I wish I could have. Oh, so busy. Time. Maybe we ought to think about leaving a little more margin in our lives. And it's hard for me to do that. When I look at my calendar, I often say, well, there's a free date, there's a free date, there's a free date, and I want to fill it with something. Well, what if we left those few free dates empty because there may just be an opportunity to be kind that's coming that we don't know. Sanders retired now. I'm not jealous at all. Don't get scared. I'm not retiring. But I do like that she does leave lots of margin. And she has the freedom now to leave more margin because she's no longer working. But there's an opportunity then to be more kind because there's a bit more space. And so for those of us that are still working, that we need to maybe intentionally build some space for those opportunities. And the intentional part is also important. That you have to plan kindness sometimes. It doesn't just happen spontaneously. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you just can react and you can be kind. But a lot of times you have to plan it ahead of time. You have to think and you maybe hear about someone or some situation that you might need to meet a need. And so you've got to go back to your calendar and say, well, I need to juggle this because I really do want to show kindness. Because kindness often takes time to prepare. Here's what I do know, though. I know this for an absolute fact. If I really want to do something, I'll make time for it. True, right? And if you really, really want it, there's been times when I've called the office and say, wipe my calendar clean. I know I've got appointments, clear it, because there's something really important here. If I really want it, I'll make time. Let's be more kind to each other. The world will know that we are Christians when we're kind. No, wait, Pastor, you misquoted that. It said, the world will know when all his disciples, when they have love for one another. Yeah, love is kind. If someone is sick, why not make that call? Pay a visit. Someone is in need, maybe you go by because you can fix it. Someone is down, maybe you take a little time and just sit with them. Someone's hungry, Jesus said, feed them. Someone is thirsty, give them something to drink. Someone is naked, give them some clothing. Someone is in trouble, visit them. Kindness. Some practicality about kindness. Use words. Use words. Sometimes the most kind thing to do is a quick encounter. It can take just a moment to lift somebody's spirits with a kind word. It's one of our behaviors here. Encourage somebody. Encourage. Lift someone up with your words. Proverbs 12, 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. How many know, how many have had an anxious heart before? You've had an anxious heart. I won't ask if you're having one now. But here's what I know. There's a lot of folks in this room right now who, if I asked, they would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I have to admit, right now my heart is anxious. I'm weighed down. Feels like I've got a backpack with 50 pounds on it, and it's just putting pressure, and I feel the stress. I feel the anxiety. But this scripture says, God's word said, a word of encouragement can lift his spirits. A word of encouragement. And that's the easy part. Kindness can take it further and maybe actually help lifting that weight off. But the very start is a word of cheer. I'm with you. Can I help? Is there anything I can do for you? You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I know those words can sound trite sometimes. When I was younger, I would kind of snap back at a good-hearted person who would say, you know, it's going to be okay. I'd look at them like, how do you know? You don't know. And now that I've got a few miles under my belt, I can look back and say, well, now I do. Younger person, you're going to be okay. You're going to be better than okay. You're going to be great. You're going to get through. We all are. We're going to get through. Even if getting through means we breathe our last tear and that comma hits, but the very next breath will be an eternity facing Jesus, loving him, being with him forever and ever. We made it through. Church, we are Christians. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Don't worry. It's the fear of Satan that says you're not going to make it. That's just not true. Will we struggle on this earth? Yes. Will there be pain? Yes. Will there be heartache? Absolutely. Will there be situations where we feel like we can no longer bear it? They'll be there. But Jesus said, take heart, for I've overcome the world. We take that heart. We say, heart, I'm not listening to you today. I'm listening to God. For he's the one who's got my eternity in his hands. Some of you have heard those words that weighed you down. You're a disgrace. You're worthless. You're a failure. You'll never make it. You'll never amount to anything. You've heard those words. They've weighed you down. Jesus said, I've got a good word for you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'm going to welcome you into my kingdom. Never forget the story of the little girl, rambunctious little girl, full of life, just doing what God created her to do. But little one just kind of would get a little too rambunctious sometimes. 9, 10 years old. So because she was just so full and just vigorous, they started calling her Tiger. Hey, Tiger, come on over. And Tiger would run over and just be Tiger-like. Tiger would run here and Tiger would run there. And Tigers make messes and Tigers throw things over. And that's what Tigers do, because that was the name she was given. And through some wise counsel, the parents were getting a little bit exasperated about the behavior of little Tiger. And the wise counsel was, you know, you kind of labeled her that. Why don't you try a different label? They started calling her Angel instead of Tiger. Now, maybe puberty had something to do with it. But as they began to call her Angel, little bit by little bit by little bit, and it didn't take a snap, it took months, that Tiger began to act a little different, because the label that she wore was no longer Tiger, it was Angel. Now, she still had the energy that God made her with, but it was still now channeled through a different identity. And that identity was beautiful, and it was right, and it was good. And what a beautiful picture to have the energy of a tiger in the package that's appropriate as she grew into a young woman. Church, God has an identity for you. You know what his identity for you is? You know what he calls you? He calls you overcomer. He calls you conqueror. He calls you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's what he calls you. What can we call each other? Use words. God is kind, so he uses words for you. It's good that we're kind and use words for each other. And maybe that word comes in a note to somebody. Or maybe just this morning, you can tell someone you're proud of them. Tell someone that you admire something about them. I appreciate you because I'm impressed with you because you do that so well. You mean so much to me. You're special. You're a joy to be around. Is that so hard? But you can take that burden on that person's back and lift it right off. Here's why words are so important, is that we don't know what they've heard before. And so we don't know the weight on a person's life behind the good morning smile. And so it's good to be really, really generous with our words, that we might just touch on the very thing that's had them broken for a long time. And we do all this, number three, because God is kind to us. Titus 3:4-5 says, but when the kindness and love of God appeared, who appeared? Who appeared? Well, yeah, thank you. He has a name. It's Jesus. It was God, but it's Jesus. When Jesus appeared, he was the kindness and the love of God. When the kindness and the love of God appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. The kindness of God didn't appear because we were so good, but because he's kind. That's why he came. So when we're exhibiting kindness, it's not because we're exhibiting kindness because someone deserved it. They may not deserve it. We already read Jesus is kind to the wicked and the ungrateful. We're kind not because they deserve it. We're kind because we're kind. And Jesus is kind because he's kind. That's who he is. Grace is receiving something we didn't deserve. Mercy is not receiving something we did. And kindness extends in both. He had his compassion on us because his kindness leads to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? Now that's in the context of Romans chapter 1 when the scripture is saying, oh, there are these that are being turned over because they're so wicked. And then there are those on the other side say, yeah, you wicked ones. And we start to judge and we start to be, you know, ugly toward those people. And God says, are you showing contempt for his kindness? Did you forget that God was kind to you and that you weren't always as, you know, cherub-like as you are now in your pure Christianity? Didn't you realize that you were one of those unredeemed ones that you're judging right now? Are you showing contempt for God's kindness? Listen, don't you know that his kindness led you to repentance? And that same kindness is going to lead these people to repentance. He is kind. It's not the wrath of God that leads us to repentance, but his kindness. Not all the time, but at least I can't think of a situation when I've been angry at someone and I've wanted to fight them. That anger has never led to reconciliation. That anger has led to defensiveness. That anger has led to competition. But the kindness is what takes down all the barriers, because you can't fight it. You can't fight someone who will slap you and you won't slap back. You've just taken the control because you will not let that person take away your kindness, your patience. Years ago, it's told that Bishop Fulton Sheen, Catholic bishop, went to the southern part of Africa and he was visiting a leper colony. I don't know if you've ever seen lepers up close. I've never seen a leper colony face to face, but I've seen videos, I've seen the pictures. We have plenty of examples in the scripture. And when the person's digits and nose and ears and body eventually starts to be eaten away by the disease, it leaves gaping, oozing, pussing, open sores, and it's just so ugly. And Bishop Sheen was there ministering to these people, and he came upon a man just in a loincloth, and his body was opened with all of these sores. And Fulton Sheen was kind, and he leaned over closely to talk to this man, very close. And as he leaned over, his crucifix swung out, and as he leaned in the crucifix, it landed in one of those sores. And as he looked down, he was repulsed in the first moment. But in a second moment, he thought, that's what God did for us. That God came down. He leaned down into us. And his cross came into the sore and oozing and gaping world. Where maybe he was unable to just bring healing in that moment, he knew that Jesus' work could bring healing in that moment. And that Jesus' work could bring healing much greater than healing a body, but heal the soul. So that when the body passes, the soul lives on. And church, for you and I, we have to be like that. We have to, because we wear the name Christian. We have to lean down into a world and let the cross of Jesus fall into the most unwanted places. And just Just let it fall there into the world. And wouldn't the world be a better place if the cross fell into it everywhere we are? Wouldn't our workplaces and our neighborhoods and the places that seem so contentious be better if we just went there and let the cross through us fall in there? Because that's what Jesus did for us, and that's kind. I can imagine, because the scripture is true and truth always bears fruit, that if kindness was allowed, then repentance would come. Can we just be kind to people until they're so frustrated by it they have no choice but to repent? The kindness of God. The secret of all this kindness really is understanding God's kindness to you. As we look in the mirror and say, what has God done for me? My family, my life. Where would I be without Jesus? Where would you be right now without Jesus? I've often teased, mainly in private at home to my wife, but I've often teased, I think if I didn't have Jesus, I might be in jail. Because I know how ugly I can get inside. I thank God for his kindness. It changed life. Where would you be without Jesus' kindness? Let that be the motivation to be kind. Let that be what drives you. God, you are so kind to me. How can I not? God, you dried my tears. How can I not hold a man who's crying? You healed my disease. How can I not bring the cross to someone who's diseased? John 13:15 says this, I've given you an example. Now do as I've done for you. That's God's mandate for us today. I've done it for you, and you are mine. Now do it for them. That's the kindness of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move us, challenge us, convict us today. I need it every day because my natural tendency is to be selfish. My natural flesh wants what I want first. But you are not of sinful flesh. You are of redeemed spirit. And I pray, Lord, that that redeemed spirit, like a Holy Ghost laser, would just begin to shoot through all of our hearts right now. And that we would respond to you saying, God, you've been so kind to me. Where would I be without you? I shudder to think. But your kindness came down into my world, into my hurt, into my pain, and you redeemed me. And the price was very heavy. It was the heaviness of your cross. Lord Jesus, I don't always do the right thing. I'm not always kind as I should. But Lord, help right now. Help today us to be kind to the needy, to our enemies, to everyone, especially to the believers. That the world might know that you are God. Help us to protect each other, not to be rude or self-seeking. Because your kindness is what changes lives. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask if there's anyone here, and if you're online and you're watching, maybe you haven't yet made the decision to reach out a hand and take hold of Jesus' kindness. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not angry. He's not vindictive. He's kind. Maybe today, say, I really could use some kindness right now. Life is hard and I don't know what to do. I don't know who to turn to. I never prayed. I don't know how any of this works. But if Jesus is kind, I want him. And if he has the eternal power to save my life, I want him. So I ask you the question, Would you like to respond to Jesus' kindness today and say, yes, I'll follow. I'll follow that one. That's who I'll follow. Just with a show of a quickly upraised hand, anyone in the sanctuary and online, I can't see you, but maybe you can signify just so God sees you. Anyone here that said, I'd like to respond to the kindness of God. I want to follow him. Put up your hand, put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? I want to respond. I know Jesus is kind. And I know I need it. Yeah, thanks in the back. Anybody else? I'm not really one to belabor the point. I don't think we need to leverage someone into the kingdom of God. And here's what I know. God is kind with you and he's patient with you. Maybe you were thinking about it. Keep coming back to church. Keep coming to be with the rest of us imperfect people that need his kindness. Let God talk to you. Let him work with you. Be open during your week and pray. And prayer is just saying, God, I know you're there. I'll talk to you. Like a friend talks to a friend. But for those that did raise your hand, I'd like to invite you in just a moment. There'll be some of our leaders at each corner of the front of the sanctuary to come and to pray with them. They'll lead you in your next steps. But let me pray with you right now, and you may pray something like this. God, I know you're there, and I know you're real, and I believe you are kind. Today, I'd like to respond to that. I know I'm not worthy, but I know you're a forgiving God because you're kind. I want to follow you. I want to become like you. I don't want to be this hateful, ugly person inside. I want to be free of that. And I know you can do it. You can change me. You can transform me. I choose today to begin to follow you, to invite you into my heart. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm yours now, Lord. Amen. The rest of you, you know what to do. Spend some time in prayer if you can, if you have the time. If you don't, you can feel free to exit as Pastor Sean leads in some, or just play some music. But consider the words today. Consider Jesus' kindness. If you're feeling a little bit bent, let God's kindness nurture you. And then as we leave this place, let that same kindness you've just been fed with extend to others. Let's just sit in his presence for a little while. God bless you. If you can stay, and if you've got to go, have a great week. Thank you.
show us glory. Show us your power. Show us the glory. Show us the glory. Show us the power. Show us the glory, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that we remind ourselves, Lord, of what you're speaking to us today. God, that we go from this place not the same. We would be changed, knowing, Lord, that you have spoken your word. We go from this place in love and your kindness. God, to be love to those around us. I pray, Lord, that this barrier would be receive your love from this body. As we go, Lord, may you be glorified in all that we do and say. In your name we pray. Amen.